What an encouragement to be here, to be with those of Light Precious Faith, and to be surrounded by God's people, to be busy about on the first day of the week, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I'm glad I'm here this morning, and I hope you can say the same. I'm sure you can. We appreciate each person for being here, but especially those that are visiting with us. We appreciate you being here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. You're always welcome, and we hope that you leave here feeling like you were welcome. I've just got to say, too, that we welcome especially those with small kids. It's one thing to get up and ready yourself to come out to the services of the church, but then it's quite another to get yourself and the kids ready. And me and Tracy know something about that, her more than I do. And so we just really appreciate you being here. I want to mention before I get into the brief sermon this morning, I've put on the back table a registration form for the preacher training this year. This is just something that is individuals that we're doing, not from the Lord's money, but it's a preacher training we've done for the last 2 years and had good turnout. 40 came the first year, 20 that stayed with us all week, and then 20 last year, and from several different states. And so we've got 20 thus far already signed up. So if you or you know someone that's serious about learning to teach a Bible class, learning to put together sermons, you don't want to miss the opportunity to come. You'll be showered with just a wealth of information, and it don't cost you a penny. We've got on the flyer just the only cost is getting here and then back home. And so because of the work of individuals, those men were able to come and to stay all week, eat all week, study all week. And so we look forward to another good preacher-teacher training this year. So flyers are on the back. Be sure to pick one up and sign up and come and be with us. Last week I did a sermon that I simply titled, I Will. Some things that the Bible says that really we ought to be busy about doing. And different people in the Bible who said, I will. And I told you last Sunday morning, you'll have to come back in the evening to hear the second part, which is, I will not. But I forgot that me and Ray had switched Sundays, and then so he preached last Sunday evening. And the Lord just couldn't leave without telling me that one of my points should have been, I will not speak. I didn't last Sunday evening. But this morning we'll do, I will not. And it's a phrase that is used a good number of times in the Bible. In fact, 139 verses in the Bible have the phrase, I will not. And I just want to share a few with you about 9 points this morning. The outlines are in the back if you want to pick one up. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 said, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men may do unto me. I hope all of us can say that I know that the Lord is on my side because I do what the Lord tells me to do as revealed in the Bible. And as a result of the Lord being on my side and being my helper, I simply will not be afraid of what other people might say, do, or think to me. Can you say that? That the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what men may do unto me. Don't allow fear to spiritually tongue-tie you. Be bold about the proclamation of God's Word. People need to hear. Without the hearing of the gospel, there will be no conversion. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said in verse 15, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I will not, or I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. In fact, the only way that we can have faith is by hearing of God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So don't be afraid of what others might do or what others might say and then not do what God would have you to do. It has eternal consequences being afraid. Did you know that? Can you think of a Bible passage where the Bible talks about as a result of being fearful, it caused you to be lost? Well, open your Bibles to Revelation 22 verse 8 and you read that very thing. Being fearful is among the list of some other things that will cause an individual to be lost. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Referred to as death because it's eternal separation from God. Revelation 20 verses 12 through 15. And 2 Thessalonians rather, chapter 1 verses 6 through 9 talks about the fact that for everlasting, those that are lost will be punished with destruction from the presence of the Lord. Did you know that being fearful is in the same category as the unbelieving? The abominable murderers, whoremongers, idolaters, sorcerers, and liars. It's just as bad to be fearful as these other things. So don't be afraid of what people may do to you, what they might do to you. In fact, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 3, one of my favorite ones. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be which say in my soul, there is no help for him in God. Some might look at you and say, you're a lost cause. You're not. Jesus shed his blood for you. But the psalmist declared that there was many that would say of him, there is no help for him in God. He says, I lay down and slept, I wait for thou sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Can you lay down at night, rest your head on your pillow, the pillow of assurance, that you will not rest in fear? There's really no rest in fear. If we have God on our side and we're doing what God would have us to do, we don't have to be worried about things that the world worries about. What tomorrow's going to hold and what tomorrow's going to look like. The Lord said, don't take thought of those things. Sufficient to the day is evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6. I will not fear what men may say or do unto me. Also stated in Psalm 56 verses 4 and 11. And Psalm 11 verse, or Psalm 118 verse 6. I will not be afraid. But also in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. I think we touched on this in our first lesson, but it bears repeating, seeing how that Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words in 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Wherefore I will not, what will you not do, Brother Peter? I will not be negligent. Do you realize that there are some areas that we might be negligent in? Neglecting to do. Take inventory of your life. And what I say to you, I say to me. I need to examine myself whether I be in the faith. If any man thinketh if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But Peter said, I will not be negligent, neglectful, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And be established in the present truth. Then he goes on to say, I think it meet, appropriate, suitable. I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Sometimes individuals may say of my sermons, well, he just preaches the same things over and over and over. Well, I assure you that there's variety in the sermons if you listen. But nonetheless, that's okay. Because Peter said that he thought that it was appropriate, so long as he was alive, to put the brethren in remembrance of things that they already knew. You know why? Lest we forget. And all of us have a forgetting problem from time to time. When Paul wrote to Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, he said, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4 and did verse 6. We've got a lot of preachers and Bible class teachers among us. We're blessed here with so many capable teachers and preachers. And I encourage all of us to continue to stir the brethren up by putting them in remembrance of what God says, without addition, subtraction, and substitution for it. Are we on the same page? Acts 20 verses 28 through 32, when Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders. He was at Miletus, but while he was there, he called for the elders who were overseeing the church of Christ at Ephesus to come to him. He said, take heed unto yourselves, unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. As long as I'm with you, or wherever I might be, I'm going to continue to remind people what God says as revealed in the Bible, and I hope you do too. Number three, I will not be burdensome unto you. Taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you, for the children not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And then we looked last week at verse 15, as we talked about I will, when Paul went on to say, I will very gladly therefore be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. God has authorized the support of gospel preachers. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox which treadeth out the corn. And Paul talked about, more than one time, that he had the right to be supported. He and Barnabas and others had the right to be supported of the brethren. But he said, I didn't exercise that right, lest any man should say that I tried to make gain. And so gospel preachers we ought to support. But a gospel preacher may say as well, if it's going to cause individuals to divert their attention away from the work that I'm doing, I will not accept that support. As Paul did. Paul appreciated the brethren, there's no doubt about that. And often Paul would say that he prayed for the brethren. In fact, I did a sermon on Paul's prayer list. There's a lot of people that Paul mentioned that he continually prayed for. But then also when he wrote to the church of Christ at Philippi, he was thankful unto them because they sent unto him aid. And he says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then he says in chapter 4 and in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not that I desire a gift, he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So a gospel preacher may refuse the support that he's offered if it would go contrary to the work that he's trying to do among brethren. I'm thankful for the support that you give me, making it possible for me to do what I do. And because of your attitude toward preachers, you have work going on in South America, and he also does work in Australia as a result of the support that you send to him, and in Oklahoma with Brother Triplett, the work that you supply to him. You felt Brother Keith Greer a number of times and may even do the same again. I'm not sure about that, but he's requested that. It's hanging in the back, I noticed, to go to the Philippians where hundreds of people have been baptized when they've gone. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the ones who, though I never accepted it, who have told me along the way, Donnie, if you need support, get in touch with us. That's encouraging to me as a preacher. But I'm not above working either. That's why I work. Not only in preaching, but driving a school bus and work on some other things. But I will not be burdensome unto you. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 5, I will not glory. Did you know Paul said that he would not glory? The context of that you've got to keep in mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 5, Paul's talking about revelations. Not the book of Revelation, which does not have an S, by the way. But he's talking about the revelations and the visions that he had. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he talks about knowing a man in Christ about 14 years ago, and I knew such a one, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now that's the context of what he's talking about, was these visions. And it's evident in the context that Paul is talking about himself, because he goes on to say in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And then when you read about verse 8, "This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you." That's the context of what he's talking about, was lest he would be glory or be exalted above measure through those revelations, visions, what was made known unto him. It's akin to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, when the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Now watch this. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now he's not condemning works. In the context of that, he's talking about boastful works. And he says, we're not saved by works by which I could boast, but we're saved by God's grace through faith, which is our part. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship," verse 10, "for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So Paul said, "I will not glory." Don't be haughty, high-minded, exalted above measure, but to think in the way that you ought to think. "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We need to do the humbling that God may do the exalting. James chapter 4 and in verse 10. But also a very important one. All these are important. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 12. Paul said, "I will not be brought under the power of any." How many of God's people down through the ages of time have addicted themselves to various different things? Answer that for yourself. I need to think about that too. Paul said, "I will not be brought under the power or the bondage of any." And I'm here to tell all of us that addiction can affect God's people just the same as it can other people too, being brought under bondage to certain things. And it might be something prescribed. You've got to be careful about that. And it may be other things that may not be necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but you have allowed yourself to be so addicted to those things, given to those things, to the neglecting of weightier matters, spiritual affairs, things that you ought to be busy about doing. And I want to admonish all of us to be careful about what you're given to. Don't be given to drugs. Don't be given to alcohol. Don't be given to whatever the case may be, tobacco and vaping and the list just goes. You don't need to do that stuff. Now, someone says, "Well, preacher, I want to hear a lesson on vaping now." Well, I'd be happy to do that. But don't be given to those things. In John chapter 8 and in verse 34, Jesus stated this, something that is so very simple to understand. John 8 and in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You want to be enslaved, given to sin? I hope not. It's akin to what he said in Romans chapter, or what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey." whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God, be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. How about you? Are you given to things that really ought not be given to? I will not be brought under the power of any. In Mark 14:31, Peter said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now that's after the Lord had said this night, thou shalt deny me before the cock crow twice. Thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times you're going to deny me. But Peter was so sure of himself that he said, I will not deny thee. If I should die with you, I will not deny thee. We must be careful to exclaim in a hastily way, had I been Peter, I would not have. Had I been Judas, I wouldn't have. The better way to say that is, I like to think if I'd been Peter that I wouldn't have. Because I don't know what I would have done. You might like to think that you would not deny the Lord, and I hope that that's right, that you would not deny the Lord, that I would not deny my Lord. But when sword is to neck, I hope that we can be that steadfast. We mustn't deny the Lord even to the taking of our life. Revelation 2 and 10 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. It's to the taking of your life. Though your earthly pilgrimage is cut off and you're severed from among the living, don't deny me. The Lord said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Will you deny the Lord? But I just got to think about this and say this. You may be here this morning, you may say quickly, I will not deny the Lord. Let me ask you this, will you confess Him? Will you? Have you? Oh, it may be that you will not with your mouth say, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but with your mouth will you confess that you do believe He's the Son of God and obey the gospel, become a Christian? Have you done that? See, a lot of people may say, I'll never do that, but what about the confession part? Will you do that? We stand condemned if we deny Him. We stand condemned if we won't confess Him. So be careful. But I hope that you will. And that in just a few minutes, we'll have a convenient opportunity for you to come forward to obey the gospel of Christ. You'll have an opportunity to stand before this multitude and say with your own mouth, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Will you? But the psalmist declared for point number 7 in Psalm 119 verse 16, I will not forget thy word. In Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Can you say, I will not forget thy word? In Psalm 119 verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts because you have quickened me according to them or by them. I will not forget His word. And I tell you, it's just a sad state of affairs when we live in a free country like we do. And most people have more than one copy of the Bible, probably more versions and more copies of it. Be careful, there are some perversions of the Bible. But we have access to Bibles, relatively inexpensive. You say, preacher, I still, even if it's cheap, I can't get my hands on one. There's two cases out in the foyer. King James Version, New King James Version. Pick one up. And yet we have access to it where it is literally at the touch of our finger. You can download on your phone. You can read it. You can hear it being read. You can do a word search. And then most people don't know hardly anything about God's Word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and in verse 6. The only way that His Word, which is capable of making us free, again, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, you are free when you obey from the heart that form of doctrine. The only way that we're going to be made free from it is when we know it and obey it. I know so because the Lord said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not going to make you free if you don't know it. And there's absolutely no excuse for not knowing the Word of God. I will not forget thy word. And then I love Job 27:5. I will not remove mine integrity. Are you honest? Upright? Job was a man described by the Lord like that. He's upright, one that eschews evil. And yet his wife admonished him in Job 2 and in verse 9, "How long dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You speak as one of the foolish women." Job replied to her, "I will not remove mine integrity." In the New Testament, in a similar way, Cornelius was described, a good man, one that feared God, shunned evil. He was a good man, feared God, prayed to God always, and gave much alms to the people. "I will not remove mine integrity from me." The world is lacking when it comes to integrity. A lot of times people can tell you something, you can't believe what they say. Isn't that sad? That really if someone says something, you like to think that I ought to be able to believe what they're saying. And what they're telling me is the truth. But so many times it's not the case. May it always be among God's people that we will remove lying from our mouth and speak the truth, as we're admonished to do a number of places in the New Testament. Ephesians talks about it. Put away lying and let every man speak truth with his neighbor. Last point. I will not refrain my mouth. Job 7 and in verse 11. We sing the hymn sometimes, "You never mentioned Him to me." Is it the case that we had opportunity and the ability to speak the truth, with people, but we closed our mouth and we refrained our mouth as opposed to teaching? Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, he said, "I thought that I would not make mention of Him anymore." The people wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, and he paid a penalty for it. Put into a dungeon, persecuted. And he got to a point and place when he said, "I just simply thought I will not make mention of Him anymore." Maybe you feel like that from time to time. I keep preaching. They won't listen to me. I'm just not going to make mention of it anymore. You know what Jeremiah ended up saying? "But His word was in my bones, a fire that was shut up. I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." That's the kind of preachers we need today, by the way. Men who, if God's Word is so burning up in them that even if they wanted to refrain, they just simply said, "I cannot stay. I just have to preach." We have some men in the preacher training. Someone has once said, "If you can keep from preaching, don't preach." And ask them what they think that means. A lot of different answers are given. But you need to preach if you cannot help but to preach. And you need to preach. And I want to admonish our young people too. It's okay to make plans for going out and having a career and all that. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with preaching full time either. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm going to give my life to the proclamation of the gospel until I can't preach anymore. Don't be ashamed to do that if that's what you want to do. I'd encourage you to do it while you're young. Ecclesiastes 12 and then verse 1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's one thing you can do when you're young that you may not be able to do as good when you get older, because older you get, and I'm getting older, the less and less people sometimes want to hear. Most places and people don't want an old preacher. Want somebody young. I'll help you do that if you want to learn to preach too, by the way. But should you be in our assembly this morning, not a Christian? We've talked about I will and I will not. I hope that you can say, I will obey the gospel of Christ. I will not delay. Today's the day that I'm going to do it. Will you do that? Preacher, what do I have to do to become a Christian? Exactly what they did in the Bible, nothing more, nothing less. And here in the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. Do you believe He's the Son of God? Repent of your sins. That means turn away from the ways of the world as you turn unto God. If we don't, we'll perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. I just mentioned to you a moment ago, Matthew 10, 32. So beautifully illustrated in Acts 8:37, when the eunuch, they came to water upon being taught, he said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Now listen to what he confessed. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Commanded the chariot to stand still, went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, he baptized them, they came up out of the water. And he went on his way rejoicing. So when you confess your faith in Christ, you are to be immersed in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Where the blood of Christ, Revelation 1, 5, not the water, will wash away every sin you've ever committed. And you may be here this morning, you may say, preacher, I've done that in the past, but I've not lived my life right. I've turned my back on the Lord. I went back into the ways of the world, but I want to come home. I want to be restored. I know I need to. And I will do that very thing. I will not delay. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We have heaven's assurance that He'll forgive you and restore you. Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. We'll pray with you and for you. There's danger and delay, so don't put it off. Come right now.